listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Monday. We call it the day after around these parts. And we're live on 200 stations, coast to coast, FSR. 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And what does aftermath means? It means we had an entire weekend of action, counting our money, or if you followed Brad Powers and his four-teamer, you're cursing the sky and saying, you know, RJ was right, these four-teamers are so tough to win. Cautionary tale, we'll talk about that. We got Brad Powers in and Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas with Sunday Night Football, an upset that we watched in Kansas City last night as the Chiefs are undefeated no more as they fall 19-13 to the Indianapolis Colts.
You know what's funny? They're 4-1, right? So, Fez, what were the Chiefs' win total for the season? 16 games.
It was right at 10.5.
10.5. So if they win 11, exceed expectations. You cash. Win 10 or less, you pay, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if we're 5 weeks in, you triple the number of wins, and then you're going to have one last game, right? 15 games at that point.
Yep.
Plus one. So let me do some quick math here. 4 times 3 is 12, right? Yeah. Now, so here's the question. They've exceeded expectations so far.
They have.
Now, maybe that's a little simplistic because you could say strength of schedule, whatever, whatever. I found it, again, I'm not saying just because Jonas is here that I so disagreed with Colin today. His take was, oh, you don't win with behind-the-back passes, you know, you win with, making your putts. And I, you know, agree with that in golf, but what is it about Kansas City? And then somehow there's a connection to last week against Detroit. Oh, what a failure. He only had, you know, one touchdown or what. It's like you go on the road against a team with zero. They had zero losses. So you're going on the road in week 4 with a team that hasn't lost in the first 3 weeks and you win. Is that really cause for, you know, you can look at the game and say, you know, I don't like what they're doing with the tight end. But in general, though they didn't cover the spread, it's hard to complain about that performance in Detroit, right?
Yeah, and it's not like the offense got shut down. The team scored 34 points.
And even if the offense got shut down, if you win the game, you win the game. I mean, is anyone saying they should take New England's Super Bowl trophy back? How many points did they score in the Super Bowl?
10.
And they're the champions, right? You win the game. That's what this is about. Do you disagree, Fez?
I think they scored 13.
13, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
Wasn't a lot is what we know, right? So to me, I want to break this baby down. But when you go and you lose a game on Sunday night, and hey, Brad, you uncovered, and I hadn't seen anyone talking about this, that the underdog spot the Colts was in was what?
Yeah, so the Colts were 4-1 on the money line, a 10-plus point underdog. That was the biggest outright upset of the season so far.
So far, the most unexpected result was Kansas City losing this game.
Yep.
Now, no doubt about it, you don't want that if you're a Kansas City fan, but if you look at the season to date as a 5-game sample, it's hard to say Kansas City's underperformed.
Agree. And, you know, there's extenuating circumstances last night. If you watched the game, RJ, you saw Mahomes not once but twice got his ankle tweaked the second time, much more significant. And I can make the case that Superman was unable to play effectively in the fourth quarter. That was a big reason why Kansas City lost the game straight up.
Now, would you say that Kansas City had numerous line injuries that we weren't really talking about, right? On the O-line, was that late scratches or how did that go down?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't have the specific details. I know that they were unable to protect Mahomes effectively. He did get sacked four times in the game.
Yeah, and I think what we should do, and this is what Monday's about, you know, it's Marquee Monday is what we like to do. Talk about the big, big stories. And then on Tuesday, let's dig in, all right? Because that's the last day we're really focused totally on the weekend that just happened. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, I will say this. Here's a little cause for concern if you're a Kansas City fan. In the last three seasons, prior to last night, Kansas City in the first five games of the year. So there were five games 3 years ago year before last, five games last year, five games this year, with this one last night being the fifth. Okay, prior to that, 14-0 straight up, 11-2-1 against the spread. So we've been talking about this the entire early season. Andy Reid is a guy who loves to come up with tricky plays, little wrinkles to his offense. You know, the creativity when he's on the beach, you know, maybe reliving his punt, pass, and kick glory days, and then also thinking about, you know what we could do here? So to me, when you're 14-0 in a given spot and you cover almost every game and you lose so badly relative to the spread, the biggest upset so far, and then you do think they didn't cover last week, and prior to that, their covers, they were 11-1-1. And you know what the other loss was? It was the Ravens. So they literally entered the Ravens game never losing straight up or against the spread first five games in the prior 2 years and then as this season started. So it has been a bad ATS run, right? Three straight losses and the biggest upset of the year. So do you look at it, performance, 4-1 exceeds expectations, or do you take Colin's side and start thinking, uh-oh, cause of concern?
I think I'm not that concerned as long as Mahomes is 100%. Let's face it, that lack of cover against the Ravens had a lot to do with two backdoor touchdowns late in the game for the Ravens.
The lack of cover, what does that mean?
The fact that Casey didn't cover against Baltimore. They were covering 95% of the game.
Mm-hmm. And what's that mean?
Well, I wouldn't dock them and say Kansas City didn't cover.
At some point, the score, do you ever go up to the bookie or the bookmaker and say, you know something? I think you should give me a pass on that. I mean, did you see they were covering a majority of the game? You're not going to want my money, are you?
Fair enough.
I mean, at some point, you just got to look at the final score. And I'm going to let these guys know before we shift games. Fezzik has one of the most convoluted recaps I think I've ever heard. And you know something? I think it may be coming up with the next game.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get to that convoluted explanation for what happened there in Dallas, we do want to let you know Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Hooters. Coming to Hooters every Monday all season to play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few easy questions away from a chance at cash prizes, freebies, and a trip to the season ender in Miami. Play Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. So to Dallas we go, RJ, where the Green Bay Packers were underdogs heading into the game and walked out 34-24 winners over the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, I'm just going to step back and let Fezzik do his thing.
I'll be the first to admit that this is a complex game, and I may have gotten it wrong, but my observations were that Dallas just went ahead, self-inflicted wounds in the first half. They drove into Green Bay territory literally every possession, RJ. They wound up with 0 points. Dallas did in that first half.
So first off, don't direct this at me. Talk to the nation.
So now the question is, well, were they just unlucky or was this about Dallas? And I think it was more about Dallas, that they just made key mistakes that got them so far behind in this game that there was no coming back. And then if you look at the overall stats for the game, yeah, Dallas's overall stats look great because they were down by 20 points in the second half and they got a whole lot of yards in the second half, which I would call somewhat misleading to make it look like Dallas won the stats.
So, Brad, can you interpret what he just said? Because I had trouble falling.
Dallas, bad mistakes, good box score, misleading.
Okay, so usually for you, Fez, the holy grail is the box score.
Yes. Now, is this the first time this year you've decided otherwise?
No, remember the Philly-Green Bay game. I said Philly didn't win the box score, but I was impressed by Philly last week.
Well, but that's different than saying the box score was fraudulent, right?
Right.
You can say you were impressed by Philly because it is hard to win a game that you get outgained significantly, but you're pretty much saying forget about the box score, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you do your upgrades and your downgrades. Each week, that's how you get your power ratings eventually. So, first off, before you give your numbers, what was the yardage count in the game?
563 for Dallas, 335 for Green Bay. Over 200 yards extra for Dallas.
They almost doubled their yards.
Well, no, because there's so many
almost
yards.
Doubled their yards.
Yes.
I mean, close, right? Okay, but somehow, so I'm thinking, okay, Green Bay won. But boy, they got out gained. They got out, you know, because I heard him say, you know, every series they seem to go through that Green Bay defense like hot knife through butter. But, you know, I've never heard that before. I've never heard about a bad team just going down the field every time. So I'm thinking you're over or you're probably going to make it neutral for both teams, right? Because you figure Green Bay won on the scoreboard. Dallas dominated the stats. But you know something, sometimes you got to win those stats, you know, or the stats can be deceiving. So I'm not going to give that. Because you've had times before teams lost the game, dominated the stats, you upgraded them and downgraded the other team.
Sure.
So I'm thinking you're kind of mitigating it all and saying wash. What's the conclusion?
No, I didn't say wash in this game. I said that Dallas, I'm downgrading by a point. I'm upgrading Green Bay by a point.
Doing a lot of mumbling. What was the key word in that sentence?
Dallas downgrade 1 point.
1 point. Downgrade.
Yes.
And the team had 230 more yards.
Yes.
And it's almost incomprehensible. And then Green Bay, what were they?
Upgrade 1 point.
Now, Brad, this is your fourth year?
Yes.
Sitting in? Have you ever heard Fezzik blame a team for turnovers?
Blame a team?
Yeah, whereas he says, those are the bad turnovers.
Oh, yeah, I've not heard that one.
That's a new phrase.
Yes.
Did you come up with that in the shower? That there's good turnovers and bad turnovers?
Well, all turnovers are not created equal.
Okay, so what was it about these? So this, in the history of Fezzik on the radio, this is the first time they were so bad to warrant mention.
Yes.
And what was so bad about it?
Well, Dak threw three interceptions.
Okay, but there's been many, many quarterbacks throw three interceptions throughout your era.
Yes.
But what was different about these?
I just felt that when I watched the interceptions, I felt they were bad interceptions.
You got Jonas laughing at you. I mean, you do realize Fez doesn't make any sense.
I'm taking an extreme situation. One thing I didn't get to mention.
Oh, well, first off, what do you mean didn't get to mention? I stepped back from the mic, and he was waving me in like, I'm done. Go ahead.
All right, well, Green Bay's running back Aaron Jones could not run a lick last week against the Vikings, and he was able to run, like we said, as a hot knife through butter through that Dallas defense.
So that... Did those yards count on the yardage?
Yes.
Okay.
Did.
So that was all accounted for.
Yeah,
then.
But when you're running the ball a lot, we've spoken about that. It's hard to accumulate a whole lot of yardage when you're running the ball a lot.
Okay.
Versus passing.
So, but I've never heard you say, hey, this team dominated the yard. I mean, I could see one team outgaining the other by 40 yards, 30, and you say, hey, they were running so much, and the other team was throwing from behind. Did you make the effort to chart when Dallas was behind how many yards they gained?
You know, I will go back and make that a project for me tonight. I'm going to go back and break it out first half, third quarter, fourth quarter.
It seems like, I mean, I don't even know how weird these assessments are from Fez when it comes to Dallas. They dominate the Giants first game of the season. Everyone's talking about how great they are. Fez says, half point. So they dominate, they get a half-point upgrade. In this case, they outgain a team by 230 yards, and they get a one-point downgrade. At this, they're going to have a zero power rating at some point here if this keeps up. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let Fez And listen, there's a lot of you guys say you're too hard on him. Listen, your money's at stake. I'm not going to follow if he says something I don't agree with. But you're thinking he won two Super contests. I got to follow him. Well, you're right. He's great. But sometimes, sometimes. So when we come back, I'm going to give him a complete free chance to recap, to change anything about the Cowboys. And if you change, we will never mention it again, probably. And also, we're going to tell you how Jay Gruden, who got fired, did very surprisingly against the Vegas spread.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up in just a couple of moments, we will find out if one member of the show would like to reconsider his analysis of a game yesterday in the NFL.
Best bet of the year. He should. Thanks for joining us in this hotly contested Monday after. You can listen every weekday on the iHeartRadio app. Also, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country, foxsportsradio.com, SiriusXM, and podcast on demand. Just search RJ Bell right now here in Vegas on the Strip. It's nice. 84 degrees, clear skies. The neon is flowing.
So, RJ, we've been talking about the Dallas Cowboys loss to the Green Bay Packers at home yesterday, and one Steve Fezzik has been trying to explain his reasoning behind his pick of the Dallas Cowboys.
You know what's so funny about Jonas? He's like one of those guys, if he would have been like Ed McMahon or something, like way back old school when there wasn't any kind of sardonicness or whatever, and he would just, a little tone in his voice, he's gonna try to explain in a disbelieving way. Like, you know, this really isn't explainable. So, Fez, we're going to give you, and I'm not even going to rebut. Whatever you say, we'll just let it sit out there in the sunlight. You believe that even though Dallas outgained Green Bay by 230-some yards and that Dallas suffered from a -3 turnover differential, correct?
Yes.
Now, historically, and this is going back decades, in the NFL, if a team's -3 in turnovers, they win the game 10% of the time. So 90% of the time, Dallas is supposed to lose. Now, one of our basic premises that separates us from the hip-to-be-square types, the Huey lovers, is we don't believe in turnovers being about skill. Though oftentimes, a quarterback might throw an interception, right? And Tom Brady will throw less than Jameis Winston. So we do give some skill to thrown interceptions or not throwing them. But otherwise, intercepting the ball, fumbling the ball, statistically, there's no predictive value. Meaning you think the first half of the year, if a team got a bunch of fumbles, they'd get them the second half of the year. It just doesn't happen. You agree with that, right?
I agree. It's random.
So you've probably said 170 times in the last few years, turnovers are mostly random. In this case, though, the -3, instead of saying Dallas amazingly was close at the end, you more or less was saying, no, these are the bad turnovers. I'm unveiling a new concept. Okay, we set the scene. The floor is yours.
I'm going to back off of the turnover analysis, and I'm going to directionally back off the 1-point downgrade for Dallas. I'm still going to downgrade Dallas a half a point, and RJ, it's all about the game flow. Green Bay was up 31-3 in this game. Middle of the third quarter, at that point, Green Bay led the yardage by 40 yards. Green Bay just started to run.
But even 40, I'm sorry. So you're saying when they were up 31-3, your big inflection of your voice was, they even led the yard by 40 yards?
Green Bay had the surplus of yards. And then the rest of the game, Dallas outgained Green Bay 288-14 once they
were
down.
So let's be candid. You were talking about the running back from Green Bay, hot knife through butter. So they were trying to run the ball is the theory, right? And they had 14 yards the rest of the game?
Yes.
Okay. So your final conclusion is?
Final conclusion, Dallas downgrade half a point, Green Bay upgrade half a point.
So, Brad, I mean, what kind of service am I doing to the nation, for the nation?
Oh, a great service. I just can't believe, Fez, you didn't come to a conclusion of neutral on
the game. No. This is the right move because it feels like he's backtracking, but it still looks like he's standing by. It's a good move. But what I'll say is, thank God I'm here.
And there is no one that does it better.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. Brad, you have a take, and this is one of the talk radio takes you only have about, seven times a year. So we're going to give you, let's say 22 seconds.
22 seconds. Okay, I don't have much sympathy for people other than my pocketbook and everyone else's pocketbook, but I kind of am feeling some sympathy for Dak. Colin today saying, hey, Dak's losing money left and right for these performances. And to me, I go back, Dak was the true pro. He showed up during training camp. He showed up during the preseason, even in a contract year. At least he was a great team player and showed up. Meanwhile, Ezekiel Elliott goes to Cabo. He doesn't show up.
Doesn't even go to Russia.
No. He becomes the highest paid running back in the entire league, and now all we're hearing about Dak is losing money left and right. I don't like that.
Okay. First off, do we know for sure that Jerry Jones isn't going to compensate Dak more generously for some of these intangibles?
We don't.
Okay. Number two, is there any teams that sign contracts like this in the middle of the year?
Jared Goff got one after the season started, I thought, or very close to the season.
Mm. You remember, Jones?
It was right before the season with Jared Goff.
So that's always the point, is that Saturday at midnight, people want to be signed by because the teams don't want to bother with it. So my question is, Jerry Jones was aggressively negotiating with Dak. Apparently, there was a $30 million offer poo-pooed. Mm. I mean, isn't Dak responsible for poo-poo? And I'm not saying he'll get less now. And first off, it would have been insane that, considering the strength of schedule, and I think we got to go back and look at Dallas and say, you lose to the Saints, and now you lose in your home stadium to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, a 500 quarterback on the road in his prime, whatever, in his career. That win put him exactly at 500. So you lose that game, you got to look back and say, well, Giants with Eli, they were bottom three team, right, Fez?
Yes, they were.
Washington, bottom three team.
Yes.
Miami, worst team.
Yes.
So potentially the three worst teams was the Eli Giants in the mix, was the three teams Dallas beat.
Yes.
So, I don't know if Jerry Jones doesn't understand strength of schedule, but to some degree, I think it would have been a situation where if they would have signed him after those three games, I wish I could have sold him some property in 2008. But I can tell you this. I know that Jerry Jones is a billionaire, not because he's dumb.
We've got some more big news in the NFCs coming up here in just a moment. Want to let you know, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. Finding out why your check engine light is on can save you a lot of time and money down the road. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you troubleshoot the real problem and analyze your specific vehicle information, code, and mileage to get your verified fix solutions. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Jay Gruden's 5+ year tenure with the Washington Redskins is done following a beating, but from the New England Patriots on Sunday, the Redskins have parted ways with Jay Gruden. RJ, what's the Vegas perspective on the firing?
Oh, thank God. I mean, I'm still mad about that Colt McCoy and him getting his leg broke last year. And I know he suffered for it too, but that was one of the games. If we had won that in the Super Contest, which we had, they were, +6.5 or something, I remember, in that game Monday night, Washington last year. Who knows what would have happened at the end? I mean, you start second-guessing yourself, but I don't hold it against him. How do you look, you think, though, McCoy? Because you were thinking McCoy would be the best quarterback they could choose, right?
I did.
And what'd you think?
He was not good.
But my understanding was he didn't hardly get any snaps during the week. So I'm actually optimistic, almost like Josh Rosen. He started midweek. There was a midweek decision a couple weeks ago. I thought Rosen would do better the next week. I actually got a feeling if McCoy is the starter next week that I'd be a little optimistic about his performance. Mm. Does that generally make sense?
That would make sense with a full week of practice.
Now, here's what we know if we look at the spread. And to me, ultimately, you don't have to know how good Washington was 3 years ago. You just say, well, what's the ATS record? Because if however good they were, however bad they were, it's going to be accounted for in that number. That's the beauty. For the half of you listening that don't bet, the spread is always going to tell you what's expected. And you can go back years and years and find out. So, Jay Gruden, his entire time as a head coach at Washington, straight up, 35 wins, 49 losses, one tie. Okay, not great. Against the spread, 41-44. 41 winners, 44 losers. So yeah, a smidge below 500, but man, oh man, not so bad. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been fired, but I think most people are surprised that he was almost 500 against the spread.
Yeah, especially, you know, you think about Washington Redskins, the legacy Gruden leaves behind, and it seems like, oh, he has underperformed every year, seemingly, right, after he made the playoffs.
Yeah, and I just think they had a type of team without a lot of big names, and people, some of the quote-unquote, you know, sharp opinions on TV love those kind of, not a lot of offense, but, you know, a good line, and they did have a good line in some of these years. Oh, by the way, we forgot the playoffs. 0-1, straight up, 0-1 against the spread. And by the way, in that game, speaking of Aaron Rodgers on the road, Washington was favored by 1, and Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay won by 17. So not great, not great. Gruden's gone. Fez, real quick, you've got a theory about when there's a new coach. A lot of people might think disruptive, but you're thinking it energizes the team. Do you think it applies here?
Yes. In all sports, across the board, all things being equal, I look to bet on the team that fires their coach.
I mean, don't people say he's a vulture. I say, hey, just good thinking. From Steve Fezzik, I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Raiders, the other Gruden brother, and I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to pose a question that's going to be shocking in that you're going to say, huh, you just might be right. That's just in a minute, though.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead to Monday Night Football between the Browns and the 49ers. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
In fact, we have a bonus Colin Cowherd pick where he and I are on opposite sides of tonight's game. That should be fun. Fez, what do you think, Jay Gruden? You think he goes into Oakland, or what do you think happens to Jay Gruden?
He might go into Oakland, but not as a head coach. I don't know what he's going to do.
No, I didn't think he was going to supplant his brother.
No, they're going to pick him up after London. That's a good stop along the way as they're flying back from London.
He's a janitor at a high school. Has to take the bus to work every day.
I'm not saying that's the case. Why'd you press that, Brad? That is, you're vicious. Let's talk about the Raiders, though. Here's my question. Is Gruden maybe even the leader for Coach of the Year? What is the Coach of the Year? Brad, just off your gut, no overthinking it. Who's the Coach of the Year? Who's the top three right now?
It's John Gruden is number one. I'd probably go McDermott at Buffalo. And maybe Peyton without Breeze continuing to exceed expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, see, I would put Peyton number one. And I think we got to look at, you know, to some degree, I got sucked in with Bridgewater. The numbers are just so, the analytics are so bad. The hollowed yards per attempt, the advanced analytic. And it's just like, they're winning. There's something about team, and I get it. All the analytics guys hate this. There's something about Bridgewater that's got this team playing hard together. And I've been fading the Saints every chance I get. It's not going so well. Jonas, what's your list right now, Coach of the Year?
I would probably put LaFleur 1 and possibly McDermott from the Bills.
LaFleur. I don't think I'd have him in the top 15.
Yeah.
You feel like he's the guy that's driving the success of Green Bay?
It's that run game. It's the run game of the defense. It's not just about Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball all over the place. And I look at their one loss was against Philadelphia on a Thursday night game. Other than that, they won at Dallas, at Chicago. They've got impressive wins. So LaFleur would be near the top of the list for me.
You know, that's a great – I mean, I don't love – my gut says no, but – if you want to give them credit for the scheme change, just the scheme change. Fez, what's your list?
Pretty similar. Bills, McDermott, number one, then Gruden, Peyton. I have Shanahan, number four, San Francisco, and number five, LaFleur.
Oh, Jimmy G's coach.
Shocker.
And who have they beaten? Steelers with a backup quarterback.
Tampa. Bengals.
And the Yeah, coach of the year material there for sure. I'm surprised they don't just call off the voting and just give it to them early. You know, I mean, it's funny because when you're biased, you or anyone, you lose money, right? When I mean, if you look back and think, oh, I bet that for the wrong reasons, or you vindictively bet against Van Vliet or whatever, it just costs you, but you still do it. Do you know you're doing it at the time? Like when you said Shanahan, did it feel like the truth, or did you know it was like, you know, my mind's cloudy right now?
I have a top five. I got to put five coaches in.
I mean, so was Belichick on the list?
You know, that's a great point.
I don't think it's obvious that the best coach ever that's undefeated might actually be on this list at some point. I mean, I'm not, you know, listen, Fez, you've got what you've got going on.
I love Jimmy G.
And we all know. So, I mean, it's just part of it. He's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Let's talk Steelers. Boy, I was looking at Fez's notes. Rudolph, obviously a big bet made, the Steelers keeping their first round or not keeping, trading it for the first time, not keeping it since the 60s. And remember, that was three coaches ago, Chuck Knoll, Cowher, Tomlin. It looks like this might be a bad bet. You know, where imagine the Steelers are picking fifth, sixth. How bad is that trade for Fitzpatrick going to look? But the backup, actually, the numbers were outstanding. The QBR is almost hard to comprehend.
Yeah, Devlin Hodges, QBR of 98, NFL average.
98.
Average is just a little bit above 50. That's just incredible and incredibly unsustainable, obviously.
Yeah, he had the longest run of the game for the Steelers. He only had two incompletions, but still they wanted to kick off in overtime. That does not make any sense to me, because if you think about it, with 10 minutes, isn't three possessions the most likely outcome where it's about 3 minutes and change of possession?
Yes. So it's a great point that you've got two disadvantages. One, obviously, if they score
a
touchdown first, you lose right off the bat.
It's over.
And the second, it's like a 2-for-1, like you said in an NBA game. You're letting Baltimore have two chances to score, and you only get one if you have some fairly substantial drives.
So, Jonas, in our show prep, you had an interesting point. You thought that it wasn't Tomlin's decision. There was a mix-up.
It looked like there was confusion.
Because I heard the guy go, "We want the ball." Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And then when the official made the decision, he looked confused afterwards. Now, Cam Hayward, after the game, you know, went side-by-side with Mike Tomlin, so to speak, and saying, no, you know, he trusts us in that position, and he wanted us out there. But at the time, it just looked like that maybe wasn't what they wanted, and for whatever reason, the official got mixed up, which wouldn't be the first time. I'm considering the Jerome Bettis coin toss game from years and years ago.
That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
So here's the thing to me. I hate it because they did about as well as they could.
Yeah.
And they got the ball on their own like 28. So literally you're just saying, on the house, just have an extra possession. And even if we do as well as you could hope, other than a turnover, we'll get the ball pretty much where you started with it. I mean, if they were starting on their five or something, Baltimore, I get it. But I don't like to overthink game theory, but boy, that seems like a weird spot to go off book unless you have a strong feeling. I guess Lamar Jackson had that many turnovers, maybe.
Yeah, you know, the only explanation would be a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and there was no wind.
If there were a wind, maybe it was a good decision. There wasn't, so it was bad. When we come back, RJ Bell, Colin Cowherd, head-to-head, Monday Night Football, and as the official odds provider of the Associated Press, I think RJ's the favorite.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. While we have the Browns and the 49ers coming up later on tonight in Monday Night Football, RJ, we also have you versus Colin Cowherd involving the same exact game.
Yeah, this is from his podcast that we do every week. And, you know, we have a crossfire battle when it's the boys. I don't think Colin would be too happy with this, but, you know, you see me being scared? No. So we're going to go head-to-head, and I think I get the best of it here. I can't lie. So this is from Friday. We recorded it, Colin and I debating Monday Night Football.
Finally, bonus pick we only give away on Saturday. I would take the Browns in 3.5 and 4, whatever the line is. San Francisco's a very young team. I think their wins have been a little overstated. They are better defensively, but a lot of turnovers. And I think Cleveland's defensive front, Nick Chubb's running game, I think they found a formula. I would take the points here.
Boy, did you save this one for last for the right reasons. Total disagreement here. I love San Francisco. First question you got to ask yourself, how motivated is the Browns? Now, we know it's Monday night. They want to play. I would make the following case. This is the least energy, the least prioritized game Cleveland has had yet this year. Opening game, obviously very motivated, very like, oh, here we go, guys, finally. Then Monday Night Football, the first one. I know it was against the Jets, but still the first time they're on in memory. Then Sunday night at home against the Rams. And then division against Baltimore, a borderline must win. Now out of conference across the country. On the other hand, San Francisco, this is a team 3-0 off a bye. And the best of all, if you like the 49ers, they won a game maybe they shouldn't have against Pittsburgh. So you not only have momentum, you have the coach saying, Shanahan saying, hey, guys, we can't take it easy. We got to get better. We barely won that game. Best of both worlds. Finally, and if you look at the game against Pittsburgh, San Francisco had 15 more first downs and 200 more yards. Let's just do finally what we did with some of these other games. Let's just look at the line. 3.5 implies San Fran's a little bit better. Well, Football Outsiders say number 4, San Fran, of all the teams, Browns number 18. So if you got 4 against 18, 4's home, the line should be more than 3.5. You add in the Browns are banged up on defense. Hate the Browns, like San Francisco.
Fez, I got to apologize. I mean, we're going to have you handicap it, but maybe we should talk about what you ate for breakfast. I mean, bulletproof.
Bulletproof.
Now, by the way, 3.5 was the line on Friday. I mean, Colin goes, oh, maybe it's 4. No, it wasn't. What's the line right now?
Line is San Fran minus 5.
Closing line value, baby. The Holy Grail. So don't repeat anything. Try not to. You got anything else?
Yeah, just big picture. Think about this. Football Outsiders has San Francisco, the number 4 team.
Well, you're repeating it.
Even if you disagree and you think and you say, hey, maybe they should only be the 7th best team. And even if you think Cleveland somehow is like the 12th best team, there's still value in San Francisco because of the great scheduling spot.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So to you, the scheduling spot is like I talked about, the bye, plus they won the game, so they got momentum. But on the other hand, they didn't play all that well with all the turnovers. Thus, it was hard to think they were going to rest on their laurels, especially considering they haven't won very many games recently.
Spot on.
Now, are you going to be rooting extra hard? And let's just be candid here. You have strong feelings for whatever reason.
I love Jimmy G.
For Jimmy G. And when you don't have money on a game, or even if you do, do you find yourself rooting in a way that you stop and you think, oh my gosh, if someone knew what I was thinking right now, I'd be very embarrassed. Like, do you have any of that kind of self-reflection?
I'd love to see Jimmy G in Miami for the Super Bowl.
And you, and you know, you're going to be in Miami for the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Oh. Why is he going? I mean, Jonas, you're a professional radio guy. You've done singing. What's he doing with the register of his voice?
Look, sometimes you can't control your emotions in
well,
whatever
it's
direction.
Every time he says his name.
Yeah, it's, look, it just, for whatever reason, it rolls off the tongue a certain way.
You know, the teeny boppers used to talk about the Beatles with more, you know, less emotion, I think. So tomorrow we'll be breaking down the big college football stories and deep diving the NFL, including Jonas' sharpest comment ever about Kirk Cousins. We got the numbers to back it up.
Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Out of Vegas!